The Five Spiritual Senses, Part 2, focus on the Blue Book, pages 222 to 227. The Blue Book is quotes from Mary Baker Eddy, which are unpublished writings. They were assimilated by Richard Oakes and are offered to the public to supplement the understanding of Christian Science. We shall link what is said here to the system of divine metaphysics that Mary Baker Eddy relates to on page 146 of Science and Health, the Christian Science textbook, and page 330 to the end of the chapter. Page 146 states this: divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system, to a form comprehensible by and adapted to the thought of the age in which we live. This system enables the learner to demonstrate the divine principle upon which Jesus' healing was based, and the sacred rules for its present application to the cure of disease. Page 330 states this: when the 32 planks of the platform is understood and the letter and the spirit bear witness, the infallibility of divine metaphysics will be demonstrated. The purpose of this recording is to study these pages 222 to 227 and see what thoughts come to us extemporaneously in order to tie these into the system of divine metaphysics. We must remember that only if there is a system and a structure can the truth be repeated with its benefits by all whom study it sincerely. It's no different than any other science, mathematics, music, chemistry, anything has a structure and a system. And if you want to maximize your understanding, you must understand the structure and the system that operates within the structure in order to pursue the truth. If those two elements exist, then you have the tools available to benefit from understanding. We must always raise our level from belief or faith to understanding. And we can only do that if we demonstrate what the principle delivers in terms of a system and a structure. We now proceed with the text, beginning on page 222, which includes the definition of the spiritual senses. I shall read the definition of the spiritual senses only to refresh where we left off in part one of the five spiritual senses. In part one, the definitions from Noah Webster were read for the following items: discernment, understanding, consciousness, intuition, and relish. And the definitions of the five spiritual senses, as stated by Mary Baker Eddy in short phrases, are as follows: sight, spiritual discernment; hearing, spiritual understanding; feeling, divine consciousness; smell, intuition of character; taste, relish of truth. The definitions we pursued in part one were the key words from each of those five phrases. We now proceed with reading the text and see how they tie in with the system of divine metaphysics. This is not the text of the five definitions, but the text on page 222 to page 227. Abide in the 91st Psalm and know that such abiding is treatment and protection. The following is a reading of the 91st Psalm. This, of course, is from King David in the Book of Psalms. This is from the King James Version. The title for this section is My Refuge and My Fortress. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. This is one of the favorite texts of students of the Bible, and it's easy to see why. It's really packed full of very important thoughts. First, it says that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So, God is love, and love is our protector. The next verse, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. If we think about the definitions of God as provided by Mary Baker Eddy, it's easy to see why God is the entity in which we desire to trust. Number one, God is omnipotent. There is no opposing power. Number two, God is omnipresent. Number three, God is all intelligence, all wisdom, and all knowing. God provides all capacity, all capability, all functionality, all facility, all action, all performance. God is the only spirit which is flawless. That is our only substance. God is our identity. All we need to do is study and understand the five spiritual senses, which are exactly what these recordings, part 1 and part 2, are all about. God is divine principle. Divine principle is structure and system, always in balance and always harmonious. God is life. Life is the exercise of all of the qualities of God, which means that we want to be intelligent when we're living our life. We want to be knowing. We want to know what we're doing. We want to be wise in making decisions, and so on. All of the qualities of God of each of the seven synonymous terms interconnect, network with, and are a part of the fullness of the operation of each of the other six terms. Nothing is isolated. Everything works together. The unity is unbreakable. It is obvious why God is the entity to whom we must trust if we want to be successful in any venture. Doesn't matter what the topic is, as long as it is wholesome and for the benefit of all mankind, we have every opportunity to be successful because we have all the tools. We only need to exercise self-discipline. The next sentence, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. So no matter what obstruction may try to be in the way, it will be dissolved if we follow the system of divine metaphysics, which means we have to find the evil, expose it, and it will destroy most of itself, and then we clean up by finishing off the eradication of any residual evil that's left over. The next verse, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Well, there we go. If we want to be under God's protection, we have to trust in God and let truth be our guide. The next verse, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. In other words, it doesn't matter what the problem appears to be. It is minuscule compared to the infinite nature of God, which includes omnipotence. And if you couple that with omniscience, which is omni-intelligence, omni-wisdom, and omni-knowing, there is not a single thing that can go unsolved if we utilize the qualities of God and train our consciousness to be following those specific qualities. The next verse, nor the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Was the continuation of what we just mentioned. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. We're protected. Doesn't matter the quantity of the problem or the elements of the problem, everything can be solved through the system of divine metaphysics, which is putting God at our forefront. We must also remember the three quotes at the beginning of the textbook, which I will repeat right now. The first one is from Jesus, and it's quoted by John in the Gospel of John. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Number two is by Shakespeare. Nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. That is the discipline. We must discipline our thoughts within consciousness so that we are following only the guidance of divine mind. The third quote, oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. This is thy high behest, thou here and everywhere. Mary Baker Eddy. prayer is stated in the Bible must be without ceasing. The only way we can do that is to live it with every thought, speech, and action. If we do that, we are praying without ceasing. And our life will be transformed minute by minute to the better every time we are adhering to these principles that are stated in this recording. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Again, it's extending the extent of the protection that we are provided by the divine love of God. If we abide with the rules and the laws of God, that's the only way we gain the protection from those laws and rules. Cannot be any deviation whatsoever. If there is, then we are diluting the effectiveness of the protection for us individually. It's always available, but we only experience it to the tune and the percentage and the degree to which we follow the laws. Jesus said the two greatest commandments are, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's it. That's Christian Science in a nutshell. Christian Science just teaches us how to do it and to follow a system whereby we can stay on track and also monitor exactly how we are doing in staying on that track. All the tools are available. We teach it in these prayer treatments. The next verse, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet, because he has set his love upon us. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. What does that mean? We have identified. This is soul, the five spiritual senses that we're studying in these recordings, part one and part two. We are identifying with God. We have known his name. Our identity has to be with the divine consciousness of God. And then we are under these protections. Then we will make the progress that is talked about here in the 91st Psalm. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. How does God do this? Genesis chapter 1 tells us very clearly that the only creation there is, as interpreted by Mary Baker Eddy, those three words in the beginning, the only creation there is the creation of God. We have to make an individual choice whether we want to be in that creation, benefit from it, and be protected by all the laws and rules that are inherent within the creation, the spiritual creation, the spiritual entity that is a complete reflection of God. It's our choice. Do we want to go off on a tangent, which is a broad road, which is where 99% of the people are? Or do we want to stick to the discipline and be on the path of truth, be on the path of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love? It's our choice. No one can do it for us. No one can work out our salvation. Our salvation is for us to work out. No, Jesus is not our Savior. Jesus gave us the example so that we can work out our own salvation. Jesus worked out his salvation, and it was a wonderful, exemplary example that anyone can follow if they want to do so. It's up to us, uniquely and individually. You make the choice for yourself. This is the end of the discussion on Psalms 91. We will now proceed to the next text on page 222. As mentioned, this is packed with so much, it is giving us all the tools we could imagine. All of this recording so far is only covering the first sentence of the text. So if we continue at this rate, it looks like we're going to have many more than two parts to these five pages. Okay, so the sentence was, abide in the 91st Psalm and know that such abiding is treatment and protection. Okay, the next sentence. There is nothing that can make law or influence you. Mind is the source of law, and it is maintained by principle. So it's like principle is the noun and mind is the verb. The action is in mind. The maintenance of it is in principle. There is but one mind, and that is love. How about that? Love. In the Christian Science textbook, there is a chapter on Christian Science practice. And since she said this, it's easy to understand why she begins with the story of Mary Magdalene in how to practice Christian Science. Did Jesus condemn her? Did he criticize her? He showed compassion for her. He let her know that he did not hold anything against her because she had already reformed in her own consciousness, and she proved it by her humility in washing the feet of the greatest man that ever walked on the globe, Christ Jesus. So he knew that she was sincere. She used this costly oil to lubricate his feet and dry them with her own hair. Now hair represents fine details. It's like the grain of sand on the beach. It represents a large quantity which covers every single element. It's like water. A drop of water in the ocean represents a massive quantity. Do not give life to evil by attaching it to a person or thing. It cannot live without a body. Man is immortal, one. There is but one infinite manifestation. No error can attach itself to man, and why deceive ourselves by thinking that it can do so? Every manifestation of life is ever-present, an omnipresent good, and this carries within itself all healing, sustaining. Know that the kingdom of heaven is within you, and this is your armor. Very clear, very concise, very comprehensive. It leaves out nothing, nada. We can see from the statement made here why we don't want to attach evil to a person, because if we only attack the person and try to destroy the person, we haven't done anything with the evil, because the evil is not the person. The person just happens to be reflecting the evil because of their weakness. We don't solve the problem by getting rid of the weakness. because it can be replaced by another person. Dr. Flunow, and he's on our header, which means on every page of the website, he traveled America to talk about criticism. And in short, he says that criticism leads to all evil. Contemplate that for a moment. It leads to all evil. All evil. All evil. Not just one or two or three or 10 or 50, but every form of evil is a result of our thinking in a critical manner about a person. We should be devoting our time to analyzing evil so that we can recognize it at the onset of its attack and we can root it out by exposing it. We have to be careful not to be looking at a symptom of a problem because that very likely is a decoy. We have to find the root of the evil itself. And that's what needs to be rooted out. And it has nothing to do with a person. If we want to destroy the evil, we have to attack the evil. If we want to destroy a person, go ahead, waste your time. Because remember, divine love always has met and always will meet every human need. There is no such thing as divine hate. There is only mortal hate. And it destroys the hater. Richard Nixon made this statement back around 1960 or something. He said, hate destroys the hater. Hate destroys the hater. Hate destroys the hater. If you want to remember something, a little quick verse, that's a good one. And with it, you should say what the antidote is. Love brings harmony and success. Hate destroys the hater, and love builds character. That's a good one. Love builds character, whereas hate destroys the hater. Seven words. Hate destroys the hater. Love builds the character. So easy. The formula is easy. Administering it with the discipline required is up to each one based on whether or not their desire is sincere. If one has a burning desire, nothing can put out the fire. It will continue going until it has won the battle. Evil by evil, one at a time. The Bible says, one day is enough. Don't worry about tomorrow. One day is enough. Take care of the moment. No thought, speech, or action can be directed toward the topic of evil, other than to expose it after we make sure we found it and let it destroy itself. And then we can do the cleanup by finishing off anything that's left over. But the bulk of it destroys itself. We can see that in action right now. We can see the so-called deep state destroying itself. That's exactly what's happening right now. God's plan is in operation. What is God's plan? God's plan is seeing God's laws operate. We need to watch it, observe it, learn from it. Understand how to be sharp so that we recognize evil at the onset of its attempt to get into consciousness and attach itself to a person. We cannot let it do it in our thought. Our thought is what we're responsible for. If we take care of our thought, we don't have to worry about anyone else. In fact, it doesn't do any good to worry about anyone else. Because if we think there's a problem with someone else, the problem is in who we see when we look in the mirror. It's like pointing the finger. We point the finger at who's in the mirror, and our thumb points right back at us. God is always in control. We have to learn it, appreciate it, and abide by it. That's what this whole paragraph has been. Abide in the 91st Psalm. And know that such abiding is treatment and protection. Okay, the next paragraph. If a person has a belief of consumption, the treatment should go far enough to destroy or uncover the belief in the reality of sexuality and the existence of material creative organs. Man is not a creator. He does not even assist in creation. The supposition that he does, or that any of the conditions or supposed facts that pertain to the subject of sex are true, is purely fictitious, a fragment of the dream from which we are awakening. So it's the dream of the Adam. It's the Adam dream that is covered beginning in chapter 2, verse 4 of Genesis. The whole thing about Adam and Eve and the apple being offered, which is a belief of sin, sickness, and death being a part of life. But it can't be. We have to get rid of the belief that is a universal belief that we were born from a woman's womb, and as a result of a sexual activity between male and female to produce a piece of matter, and that matter growing up to be us individually. We have to reverse that and know that all creation was done in Genesis 1 long before a human mother and father got together to create another piece of matter. All that does, is when we believe that, is to weaken our thought and be more readily accepting a lie. Mary Baker Eddy says, human existence is a lie compounded upon lie. We have to go back to the beginning, the story of Adam and Eve, and we have to deny that that is true about us or anyone, and that our heritage is the genesis of divine mind. Divine mind is our origin, and not a human mother and a human father. A study of the Bible will reveal that it includes a lot of universal beliefs whereby man is less than perfect. We have to root out evil descriptions about man, and we have to focus on the truth about man. And going back to Genesis 1 and studying that on a regular basis is a very good thing to do. Because that is us. Genesis 1 is the story of the true spiritual creation of the universe. And if we're going to be the image and likeness of God, we cannot accept a false sense about ourselves. We can only accept what is true as is stated in the spiritual record of creation, Genesis 1 up through verse 3 in chapter 2. Period. End of story. We should see the connection between this text that we're reading and what those five definitions are of the spiritual senses. Our whole life depends on identification. If we identify properly, then we will have a life within the realm of spirit, which is life that is eternal, life that is harmonious, life that is in balance, life that is a continuation of every moment after another, which is infinite progression, working toward concrete being. That's our goal. Next paragraph. This is the end of 222 going on to 223. God made them male and female from the beginning, but his creation was not physical. He made qualities and formations of character shall ever remain thus. As the reflection of God, the father and mother of the universe, not that of God, is male and female in person, two in form, but as including in himself all qualities of mind, period. When we understand this, we shall have no outlined personality, but shall have mental individuality all the same. This is absolute science, wherein there is but one mind in the unity of masculine, feminine, and neuter, as mind, as infinite mind, and not finite. Here is the union, again, of man and woman, not personal, but impersonal, not physical, but mental, not finite, but infinite. This must be so in the reflection of God, for he is neither finite nor physical. And if we would reflect God, we must become like him in our consciousness. Science and health is changing the belief that heart is matter and sustains life, to the understanding that God is our life, that in him we live and move and have our being. That's a quote from the Bible. This change of heart would deliver man from heart disease and advance Christianity a hundredfold. There is another heart in us that needs to be changed, namely the human affections. Changed from selfishness to benevolence and love for God and man. Changed so as to have but one God and to love him supremely, and our brother man as ourselves. This change of heart will have its effect physically as well as spiritually, and heal disease sooner than burnt offerings or drugs. It is a good thing to mentally remind yourself daily that God is the only lawmaker, for man, morally, spiritually, and physically. Again, the emphasis is on impersonal nature of reality. The human has nothing to do with the divine, other than we utilize the human, which is our present level of understanding, and we use human reasoning to reason ourselves out of the material sense of things so that we can get into the divine in consciousness. We need to open the veil, shed ourselves of any impurity so that we can see ourselves in the sanctuary of spirit, looking through the lens of spirit to see everything and everyone as a reflection of the flawless nature of spirit, as opposed to the wide deviating concept, which is false, of a material man and a material universe. As Jesus stated to John, when asked by John, and this is at the top of every page on our website, is there a material body? Jesus said, no. Then John asked, is there a material universe? The answer is obvious. If there's no material body, there can't be a material universe. It doesn't matter how many people believe it. It doesn't mean it's true. It is false from beginning to end. Next paragraph, and this is on page 223. Do not attack hypnotism. Do not take scriptural authority for its identification, but allude to it briefly when you do speak of it, as you would to a ghost story. This will check its spread more than any other way would. If it wasn't really important, she wouldn't make such a profound statement about it and indicate that we should only mention it briefly. Allude to it briefly, she says. Don't talk in specific terms because it's not real. Talk about truth in specific terms, not its mistake, which is the opposite. Any form of evil is the opposite of truth. It's the opposite of spirit. Next paragraph. Have you had much experience with malpractice? There is none. The way I meet it is by keeping the first commandment. No, there is no evil mind to intercept God and you. By the way, Wentworth Winslow, one of our finest Christian Science practitioners of all time, he healed a boy from the dead, by the way, belief of death. And he wrote 126 articles divided into four books. Each article is anywhere from a partial page to two or three pages. And the topic of all four books is God. And I think you will find his works very interesting. One of the topics that he covers is malpractice. If you want to study that topic, I believe it will be very useful to read his three articles. Next paragraph. No one can hurt me nor take from me anything that is good. I know no such thing as sin, suffering, want, or disease, for I am a reflection of life, truth, and love. I am never disappointed. The harmony of my being cannot be disturbed, because I live in the infinite. We would be better suffer for another's wrongdoing than to misjudge a person. and the student does not always know who is sinning, but he can make sin through science, divine science, to himself nothing. This paragraph is a treatment. Study it, and you will see that it points out the evil, exposes it, and it affirms the truth. Next paragraph. Faith lifts up the aspirations to principle for more light and spiritual love, and with the unfolding of truth to the understanding which comes from desire and research, cross-taking and cross-bearing. To belief comes a return of blessings from principle which controls all and will control it so as to be found right where judged by wisdom. For wisdom will restrain error when the time cometh for its solution by the understanding. This is a reminder of the old adage that when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Or when the teacher is ready, the student appears. Next paragraph. The real Christian Science compact is love for one another. This bond is wholly spiritual and inviolate. It should never be violated in thought or action, even for the sake of maintaining the purity of the letter of Christian Science. For the Spirit, the reflection of divine love is always more important than the letter. And that's a statement taken from Miscellaneous Writings, page 91, line 10. So number one is the Spirit. We can't heal without the Spirit. Next paragraph. I saw the love of God encircling the universe and man, filling all space, and that divine love so permeated my own consciousness that I loved with childlike compassion everything I saw. This realization of divine love called into expression the beauty of holiness, the perfection of being, which healed and regenerated and saved all who turned to me for help. Part of that is a quote from Science and Health, page 253, line 2. Mary Baker Eddy states in Science and Health that we should form a perfect model in thought and refer to it frequently throughout the day. She saw the love of God encircling the universe and man. That certainly would be a perfect thought to contemplate. Filling all space, and that divine love so permeated my own consciousness that I loved with Christ-like compassion everything I saw. We should search for spiritual qualities no matter what thought comes to us, whether it's an individual, whether it's an event, a relationship. If we focus on that kind of thinking, we will bring holiness, which brings harmony to the situation. Love is the lubricant that can solve any problem, period. No exceptions. Next paragraph. My body is not a toxin factory. It is the substance of love, the reflex of soul. This omnipresent truth is an antidote, antitoxin to all poison, both internal and external. Mary Baker Eddy is making these statements because these are common ills that are in universal belief. In the last few decades, and this is way after Mary Baker Eddy passed out of this visible hemisphere, the genocide has been a predominant verb to the deep state. Their goal is to reduce the population of planet Earth from its present 8.3 billion down to 6% of that, or approximately 500 million people. This paragraph right here, only three lines long, is a beautiful antidote for it. I'll read it again. My body is not a toxin factory. It is the substance of love, the reflex of soul. Remember, soul is identity. This omnipresent truth, the opposite of error, is an antidote, antitoxin to all poison, both internal and external. It's common knowledge that they are spraying chemicals in the air. They're called chemtrails, and the purpose is to poison the population. It drops on the agriculture, poisoning the fruit, poisoning the seed, poisoning the soil. This is a direct statement to know that it has no power. Nothing can affect us internally or externally. Because truth is the antidote, and truth is omnipresent. But we cannot be passive. Being passive is being evil. Knowing that there is something that needs to be done and not doing it is evil. We cannot be passive. Life is an active function. Next paragraph. What is the scientific realization of which sexual intercourse is the counterfeit? It is the recognition and realization through communion with God of man as a perfect, complete idea, masculine and feminine. That which is true of yourself as a complete reflection of Father, Mother, God, is true of every individual in the universe, and reveals God and His creation, perfect and eternal. Mortals are struggling for completeness and hope to find it through sexual intercourse, when in fact this desire is simply the divine idea struggling to express itself in completeness. A recognition of this brings compassion, tenderness and love for the poor, struggling heart, and conviction that there is no sin. And of course, as we realize this, we will lessen the desire to yield to the human tendency to submit to the belief of passion and things that are materially oriented instead of spiritual love. Spiritual love is the only love that is lasting. A material sense of love is very fleeting. Next paragraph. There is no mental, moral, physical, or financial paralysis in God's kingdom. The world is mentally and morally paralyzed to the truth of being, and this must be handled in every case. Our treatments must be universal as well as individual. Page 225. To teach students in class without teaching them how to handle animal magnetism is like sending soldiers into battle with brass buttons and braid, but with no ammunition for their muskets. This is a mental age. Malpractice would dominate, and unless Christian Scientists are awake to it and alert, it would hold back Christian Science for centuries. If students come to me with their thoughts full of worldliness, self-pride, hate, materiality, and so forth, although I have so much to give them, it all stops here, she said as pressing her hand to her throat. But if they cleanse their thoughts of all these things, then I can just pour it out upon them. When Jesus was talking to the Pharisees about the two greatest commandments, before he gave them, he told his disciples that he had to be lifted up in individual thought, or they would never accept what he said. Mary Baker Eddy is talking about the same thing here. If your thought is on all these material characteristics of human person instead of the divine idea of man, then all the good thoughts in the world could not crack through that resistance. So we have to be fed up with the material sense of life and realize that it's not giving us any lasting value. Then we can go searching on an unbiased path to find out and seriously seek the truth, which enables us to find out more about it, to raise our level of understanding a bit higher than what it was before we started that particular study session. In Genesis 1, as mentioned in the prior part 1 of this series of the five spiritual senses, it was stated that there are 7 days of creation that are mentioned. But what I did not mention is that in each one of those days of creation of unfoldment, that God said, let us. That means that we have to open our thought to let the truth enter. So each one is prefaced by letting us, and then it is stated that God did it. Same thing right here. We have to be prepared. We have to be ready to give up the false sense of manhood and womanhood and be ready to take the step off of the shore onto the boat, which is going to be floating above the material sense of life, truth, and intelligence in matter. That scientific statement of being is very valuable. I recommend that that be recited at least once a day, if not more often. That's something that can be done very easily, and to get their thought on track. Next paragraph. It is good to be afflicted, to drink in the experience by which we are made meet for the Master's crown. Love is in itself a purifier, and if we reach its glorious behest, we must be purified in the process. 30 years I have been in the fiery furnace, and the dross has dropped away from the gold through agony. But if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. That's R-E-I-G-N. In other words, we will be successful. We will be in the realm of spirit in our thought, speech, and action. And with him means Christ Jesus. Because earlier in the paragraph, she talks about meat for the master's crown. Next paragraph. Your father is rich and will not deprive you of one good thing, but will add continually to your storehouse of blessings. Everything belongs to God. Then it is yours now as his reflection. For there is no debt in divine love. Now what does this mean that God will not deprive us of anything? If we would like to have a special car, or a special house, or a special suit of clothing or dress or something of that nature, or go to a particular party, how is God involved in that? Well, in short, he is not. His laws are fixed. And we either comply with them and have the benefit of them, or we don't. And the benefit is spiritual inspiration and spiritual advancement. So our sense of what gives us pleasure will be upgraded continuously the more we study and the more we understand. We won't be satisfied any longer with a material sense of satisfaction, but we will be attracted to something of greater value, which is on a spiritual level. For example, we will be more interested in giving than in receiving, even though we want to be careful not to deprive others by giving. In other words, we don't want to be so righteous that we're going to say, well, you know, it's better to give than receive, so I'm not going to receive. Each case is individual, unique. We have to use the intelligence, knowing, and wisdom that is us in our control by reflection to make the correct decision. Next paragraph. Oh, that personality and materiality were made the point of attack by all who would desire to be Christian Science. Pull down the strongholds and we would have healers worth having. Spiritualization of thought is what the cause demands, and I see little growth in that direction. Could we but fill our consciousness with the thought that every individual idea of God is as fixed in its place in divine mind as the steadfast stars in their orbits? It would help to dispel the illusion that any of God's children is out of a position, displaced, out of line with the source of supply. No one of that universe, which is unseen and eternal, is ever out of place. For God is without any variableness or shadow of turning, and his ideas reflect his stability. Again, she stresses that the letter is important, but the spirit is mandatory. And we have to pull down the strongholds of materiality. That means that is the spirit that is being sacrificed. It's much easier to study the letter than it is to rid ourselves of the belief of life, truth, and intelligence in matter. But we can't go forward unless we do that. She says she sees little growth in that direction of pulling down the strongholds of a material sense of life, truth, and intelligence in matter. She says, could we but fill our consciousness with the thought that every individual idea of God is as fixed in its place in divine mind as the steadfast stars in their orbits. God is without variableness or shadow of turning, and His ideas reflect that stability. His stability. Right there is the phrase we need to stick with. God is without variableness or shadow of turning, and His ideas reflect His stability. Are we going to do it? It's an individual choice. Malicious animal magnetism cannot, through any claim of business, necessity, or policy, move me either internally or externally. It cannot change my habitation, for I inhabit infinity, eternity. I dwell in the realm of unending bliss, in a house not made with hands, high in the heavens of life, truth, and love. I live in the atmosphere of purity, heavens of life, truth, and love. I live in the atmosphere of purity, peace, and plenty, and in the sunshine of love and joy. Page 226. My home has an everlasting foundation. There is no limit to its beauty and pleasantness, and infinite love conducts my home. There is but one home maker, one home beautiful, one builder, one habitation. For in Him we live and move and have our being. Principle gives every good and perfect gift. Principle gives all, is the only source and cause of all good. Sticking close to God, that's what the emphasis is here. Love conducts my home. She stresses that God is infinite. The foundation of our home is everlasting. There is but one home maker, one home beautiful, one builder, one habitation. For in Him we live and move and have our being. That's not the letter. That's the spirit that is talking. Next paragraph. Exclude time and place from thought. Think only of here and now. So exclude time and place from thought. That's number one. Number two is to think only of here and now. There is no past and no present. Now is the only time. That's what we need to focus on. Now is the only time. The moment is what we focus on. If we take care of this moment, when the next moment comes, we will take care of that moment. But we don't need to be thinking about that moment until we are done with the present moment. Whatever is mine now. Nothing can come between me and that supply, neither time nor space. Supply is therefore here and now. God cannot be impoverished. Man cannot be impoverished. Nothing can come between me and my perfect supply. There is nothing that can take it away from me, for there is but one power. All harmonious, beautiful. I know poverty is an error that truth destroys. Powerful positive statements and sticking to them will heal its opposite. So if the belief is a problem of supply, these statements are directly intended to refute it. The next article, beginning on page 227, is about supply. That's not going to be the topic of this recording, but if you're interested, that's where you can find it. The last sentence from the last paragraph is, I know poverty is an error that truth destroys. Declare continually your own perfection and freedom, and let the true and divine idea destroy the mesmerism that argues that you are sad and unhappy. This idea is your savior. The idea that we are continually perfect and free. That's the idea to which she refers. That's our savior. It's not a man. It's not even Jesus. Jesus was a great example. But our individual savior is our individual thoughts in our individual consciousness. To know that all things work together for good to them that love God, even when every material evidence points to the appearance that evil is in control of a situation or condition, is to abide unshaken in a spiritual composure that the world cannot take away. There's a hymn in the Christian Science hymnal that says, let the storm roar without me. And can I be dismayed? Mary Baker Eddy says, don't be disappointed. Instead, firm up your thought. Denying the evil, affirming the truth. To know that all things work together for good to them that love God, even when every material evidence points to the appearance that evil is in control of a situation or condition, is to abide unshaken in a spiritual composure that the world cannot take away. That's repeating what was said before, but it's very important to understand. Through faith and patience, we inherit the promise of Him who cares for us as a shepherd does his flock. We do not have to look forward to the end of an erroneous experience. We do not have to say, when? For evil is nothing and has no power, activity, nor representative now. In other words, the only time is now. The presence of God is now. The balance and harmony of God is now. Next paragraph. There are no hindrances, interruptions, personalities, conditions, or circumstances that can make inactive or suspend the law of spirit. I cannot be mesmerized to doubt the power of truth over this and every other error. I know that I have confidence in all my treatments. I know how to handle all error and handle it instantly. All that I need to know in handling error is revealed to me, for it is God who handles the case, and it is God who gives all right ideas. Do not repeat the lies. Return good for evil. Let us forgive and love our enemies. As a side note, why do we need to be thinking about forgiving anyone? We need to be finding the root of the evil. And the root of the evil is our thinking that we have a right to judge someone else and judge them guilty as a unilateral decision. That's the only time we need to forgive, if we've already convicted somebody, sentenced them, we've enslaved them in our thought. As stated previously, the chapter on Christian Science Practice begins with the story of Mary Magdalene. Jesus had never condemned her. He saw she was transformed, so he could accept her actions as actions of love, caring for him, washing his feet, putting on the special oil and drying him with the hair of her head. Every little detail, that's her hair. All of the hairs of her head are just very little details. With every detail, she catered to the best man that ever walked on the globe. We can't do that unless we have the right thought about spirit versus matter. Good versus evil, right versus wrong, divine mind versus mortal mind, life versus death, principle versus chaos, truth versus error, and love versus hate. She had made that transformation in her thought. She was no longer interested in being in an immoral atmosphere, which was her profession previously. Jesus didn't look back. He saw her as she was when she walked in the room. He could feel the change of her heart before she ever entered the house. It was apparent she was a different individual. He recognized that. He didn't have to forgive because he had never condemned. And we shouldn't either. I'll repeat the last few words. There are no hindrances, interruptions, personalities, conditions, or circumstances that can make inactive or suspend the law of spirit. I cannot be mesmerized to doubt the power of truth over this and every other error. I know that I have confidence in all my treatments. I know how to handle all error and handle it instantly. All that I need to know is handling error is revealed to me, for it is God who handles the case, and it is God who gives all right ideas. Do not repeat the lies. Return good for evil. Let us forgive and love our enemies. This is our duty. This is the rule in Christian Science. Oh, let us keep it inviolate and be on God's side. Remember this, dear ones. Human nature is a keyboard. Animal magnetism plays up on it. If there is a silent key, there can be no sound. If we faithfully handle error, we shall be a silent key. So in other words, whenever error pounds on us, we will be silent. Jesus didn't argue with error. He refuted it by stating the truth. Same thing Mary Baker Eddy did. The divine law of life, truth, and love is a law of instant and complete elimination of all poisons and impurities from the system. Why? Because the flood tides of divine life, truth, and love are pounding and surging through consciousness, uplifting, purifying, nourishing, healing, elevating, sustaining, and energizing mankind. This is page 227. And the final paragraph from our reading is as follows. Everything that comes to me today brings me a blessing. There is no mortal mind to see me today or know me today, or think it can, through any of its so-called laws of malpractice, rob me of all good or hinder me from being conscious here and now of my birthright, which is dominion. That is the end of the text. I am very grateful for the thoughts that have evolved, for the inspiration that has come from studying, and for the benefit to anyone who listens to the unfoldment of the truth that Mary Baker Eddy has given us in these pages of 222 to 227 from the Blue Book. I'm grateful for all of the inspiration that comes from studying the Bible and Science and Health and other writings of Mary Baker Eddy, from the stellar students in Christian Science that have given us such wonderful writings. Wentworth Winslow, Frederick L. Rawson, Bliss Knapp, Robert C. Putnam, Christ Jesus, the thoughts from Einstein, St. Paul, Clara Barton, Dr. Fluno. The list goes on and on. God is available because God is omnipresent. There is never a time that we cannot yield the mortal belief of discord, no matter what the label is, and claw our way out of the hole of mortal belief and get up to a higher level to get a better view, to realize how small the problem is, and to be open to the specific thoughts that will reverse the evil which is trying to make itself alive through person. I refuse to accept evil as a power. I yield to the power of God, the one and only mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. Amen.